Welcome to the Faith Focused Spanish Blog Show with your host, Faith Lane.
Great morning, great morning, great morning. I'm super excited today. I got a guest I had on before, but I enjoy her conversation with Antricia Bray, so I can't wait to get started with her interview. But before we get started, if you're looking for any advertisement, commercials, radio interviews, if you want to do any advertisement, you can contact me at 478-219-5900, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and get started with the show. Miss Antricia Bray, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Every time I talk to you, I enjoy it. I don't know something about talking with you, Miss Bray. It just made me smile. I'll be having a big old smile on my face.
Yeah, be laughing at me, don't you? Tell it real.
I don't know, something about your energy. I mean, certain people, I pick up really good on people's energies, and it's just something about your energy that just makes me smile.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to have the invitation to be here with you today, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, ma'am. But just a little bit about Miss Antricia Bray Smith. She's a mentor and a speaker. She helped coach and mentor other women that went through past trauma. So she helped them overcome their trauma. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. She also is an author of how many books have you written, Miss Bray?
Seven, eight. So it'll be eight.
Okay. Well, wow. I need to find out about all the other books. I know about Recreating a Better Me.
Yes. Yeah, Recreating a Better Me. That was one of the first ones. So I've had several since then, but it's all connected to recreating ourselves and just being better and just also journeying, you know, my own journey in this, because I write in real time and my books are in real time and they're relevant to women just like you and I, just trying to live our best life.
Yes, ma'am. I love it. Wow, I need to get on your book list so I can get some of those books. I know I have one of them. I didn't know about the other ones. That is awesome. You also help people publish their books too also, is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I've helped several people around the globe actually put their story into a form of a book and to generate additional revenue. You know, and I think it's important being able to give our story a voice, especially in the pages of a book. So it's something that, you know, we can share with people that we may or may not ever meet in this world, and it can go places that we may not necessarily ever go. So, I enjoy mentoring people and showing them how to actually put their story into the words of a book.
I need to get with you about my story. Sure. Oh my God, there's so many crazy things that has happened since we talked. Not to really kind of put it too much on me, but my father actually is the man who invented the buffalo wings, and so he's starting to get credit for that, and it's starting to be all over the news and papers and the museums and things like that, and I think I'm gonna start writing about how I grew up and the things that went on with me and my father. So I definitely need to put that on paper in a book.
Definitely.
I definitely need to get with you on that for sure.
And I would love to be your guide to help you put that story into motion in the forms of a book. Long overdue, I'm sure, and excited for you just for thinking in that direction and not only sharing your part in that, but also shining light on your dad, you know, and giving him the recognition that, you know, that that he so well deserves. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. Excited to hear that.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I what encouraged me, I started thinking more about it, is thinking about the last time you was on my show, and you mentioned, and I actually used that as a part of my advertisement, how you spoke about you want to put it in a book somewhere so it can always be, you know, it can generate, people can read about it for generations. And
that's
so,
right.
Yep, and that's so important. I mean, it really struck something in my heart when I listened to that episode, and I was like, you know what, I need to do the same thing. Because if my sister wouldn't have kept that thing going with my father's name and his wife at the time when he passed away, his name would probably vanished out there. So I think it's important that they need to know about, you know, this man. And so, yeah, so I really thought about that after, like I said, I listened to that episode last week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, so many of us, you know, we live this life and we don't realize how valuable we are or how valuable what we have left here on this earth is, and it's going to be, and how it can impact generations to come. And so one of the ways you can live this life and leave something here that is so valuable is in the form of a book, because the books don't have a expired date.
Expiration date.
You know, our lives, you know, we live for a moment here and then we die, and they put us over into a grave and a cemetery or whatnot. And people may seem to forget about us, but, you know, I'm reading books from people who were great, and they left some great information here on this earth for us to enjoy even long after they're gone. And so, you know, I want to be that influential, and I want to leave that impact here on earth. So not only,
right,
you know, the people who are here in this season with me to enjoy my voice or to be able to hear my voice, but even in years long after I'm gone, my voice is still here and impacting lives in a way that, you know, there's only one us. There's only one
exactly.
us. No matter who comes after, you know, there will never be another voice like yours or never be another voice like mine. And so you want to be able to leave that here on earth to impact generations, not only for your family and your legacy, but also for others who are looking for someone to, you know, speak to their soul, so to speak.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, Ms. Antrese, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about, you know, if you're married and you have kids, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm married to Leonard Smith. I have two daughters of my own. We are a blended family. He has three sons. They're all adults and adult teen in their own way. Very intelligent kids. So we've been blessed in that sense of the word. I'm an educator. So much of what I do is influenced through education. So just helping not only the people in my community to dream and to put their dreams into action, but also children with special needs, allowing them the opportunity to understand that even though there are limitations that you have, those limitations do not stop you from becoming any and everything that you desire to become in life. And so, I have a background, a nursing background, a medical background. So I have been a licensed nurse for over 26 years now, and I just transitioned into education a little over about 12 years ago. So it's all working together in one way or another, so that, you know, I'm just helping others make their dreams or aspirations become a reality. And so this is why I do what I do, why I write the books that I write, why I mentor, and why I use my public speaking platform to just allow people a voice to know that they can do and be and become anything that they set out to do and be and become in their life.
Right. Well, I tell you, Miss Antresia, you're a woman with plenty of hats for sure. I'll tell you, you stay busy all the time.
Yes, I stay productive.
But I love
it, though. To use the word productive. You know, I don't want to do anything that is not yielding fruit or results. So, you know, I look at myself as being a tree with many fruit, and we want those fruit to be delicious, and we want it to be valuable, and we want it to produce more fruit as time go on. So, yeah, I do like to stay productive. I want to do things. When I leave this earth, I don't want to leave here full of hopes and dreams and what I should have done still in me. When I leave this earth, I want to leave empty. I want to leave it all here. And so I have many talents. And so I'm not afraid to tap into those talents and learn new things and see what I can produce from that. So, yeah, I have many hats, many hats, many talents. And I try to exercise that in one way or another in the things that I do.
Right. It's crazy because one of my old mentors used to say, do you know how many people took their goals and dreams to their grave? And that always stuck in my mind. Like, it's been so many talented people that wasted their talents and never even started their goals and dreams. And so
Absolutely. That's
so powerful. It's a powerful thing for him to say to me, but it's a powerful thing to hear you saying that you want to leave it here.
You don't want to take it with you. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be enough to mean anything or anybody else anything in the grave. So, you know, we want to leave it here
part.
And step into it. And, you know, fear is one of the greatest obstacles in our way. You know, we use that fear or we listen to what people say we can or cannot do. And so we're conditioned to shrink back in our own power and in our own abilities. And so, you know, I don't want to be that. And so I feel like people can see me here in my little town, coming from nothing, a product of a single parent family and a product of poverty, if they can see me out here learning and pressing my way through to become any and everything that I set out and aspire to be, I believe that that's motivation enough to allow anybody a chance to see that they can do it. And regardless of what obstacles stand in our way, you know, by applying ourselves and staying focused on whatever our goals are, they can and will be obtained. And so I think that's important.
Yes, I love it. Yes, ma'am, it really is very important. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, like, what encouraged you to start even telling your story? Was it something that triggered you to start this journey off, or was it someone that you ran into? What was it that triggered you to start this journey to do some of the things that you're doing, like sharing your story and helping other people?
Well, one of the things, first and foremost, is that I have daughters, and I didn't want to see my daughters trapped behind the secrets of their trauma for the rest of their life. So I really looked at my life of what it was. And truly, you know, even as an adult and raising my kids, many of the decisions that I made up into a certain point in my life were based upon the traumas of my past. And so that can be a hindrance. And so, it's almost like the light bulb goes off. You wake up one day and you realize there has got to be more to life than what I'm living. And that's the point that I got to. I was looking at my life. I'm looking at the life of my kids and how my life and the decisions that I made have impacted my young ladies. And I wanted something different. So from generation to generation in my life, the women are single parents and they're raising these kids and we're living in poverty and, you know, we're working these jobs and we're going to church and in these religious organizations trying to tap into this abundant life that they preach to us and tell us about. And I felt like I was doing so many things right, but I could not understand what was keeping me from that abundance that I have heard about all of my life. And so I began to seek out answers for where I was, how I got here in this place, and not only that, but how to overcome. And we look for these answers sometimes in the religious setting, but we know that even in religious settings, we're still communicating and connecting with human people who are human. And I know that it has to be something greater than this human nature. And so I just begin to seek it out for myself. I begin to read. I begin to search scripture to really try to understand how to tap into the abundance, how to recreate me, how to overcome the trauma and really live a life that is abundant and satisfying and that is not restricted or limited by fear or by what others think I can do or what I, you know, limit myself, you know, even in my own thinking, being that we're conditioned even from birth. So, yeah, I just began to search that out. And once I began to get answers and began to recreate myself, I thought, you know, I'm not the only one stuck in the traumas of my past, living in shame, living in fear, afraid of what other people would think when they know the real me or a product of what I've become and all of that. So I began to put it in the pages of a book, and I began to share what it's really like to renew your mind on a daily basis. And this is where it all boils down to. You know, we hear that in our religious organizations and institutions to renew your mind daily, but they never really tell us how we do that. How is it that we renew our mind? How is it that we live a life of discipline and a life of worthiness? And so once I began to understand, I began to put it in the most childlike, simple form that anyone can understand. Anyone can understand what it is and what it takes to renew your mind, what it takes to put good things into your body as far as in the medias and the things like that that you're taking in, so that you're able to produce better fruit and that abundance in your life. So, yeah, I can say that my girls, you know, just wanting and desiring a better life for them, and not only them, but other young women and women that I've seen trapped in their traumas for years, good people just not able to overcome, not really thinking enough of themselves to know that they can become any and everything that they want to do, and putting their dreams on hold for their families to raise the kids and supporting everybody else's dreams and allowing their dreams to just be dreams and never become reality. You know, I wanted something different. We're in a new century, you know, a time to where we don't have any excuses when you look at it. And so it's important to me to see other young women fulfill their hopes and live out their best lives.
Wow.
When you help some of the women that you've talked to, if you know, without sharing names, and they share their stories with you, what kind of things have you learned that that triggered them to have the impact on their past and present relationships? Like, what kind of things have some of the women shared with you that you helped them change, you know, the way they treat their relationships that they have today from their past relationships, past traumas, I should say?
Well, one of the things, you know, most are guilty of, I guess, so to speak, way to put it, is that when they are hurt and when they have been traumatized, when we have undealt with baggage, that baggage tends to drag out in other areas of our life, of the relationships that we have. And so that is one of the things that many of the women share the most, is that they keep running up against the same kind of man, or the same type of relationship,
right,
or the same type of dissatisfaction in their life. And so many of which, because when we're traumatized, we are conditioned to silence of that trauma. Many of them do not realize the source of which they keep running up against the same thing. And so in the work that I do with women, I try to help them understand that we are you. The you in the relationship is the factor in all your relationships. You cannot escape you. And so until you're able to expose the trauma, until you're able to give what you've been through a voice and to look at the you in the relationship, then you're not going to be able to overcome and to obtain or to get that satisfaction out of the relationship that you seek for you. And so that's one of the main things. You know, we can see the fault of other people. We can see that we, no matter what we do, we always come up and this is our end result. It's hard to see us sometimes. It's hard to realize how we ourselves impact and influence the relationship. And so we try to go about trying to change everything and everybody and every dynamic, but until we really tap into us and that attraction or that factor that keeps us in our decisions that we're making, you know, we keep bumping up against that wall. And so that's really one of the most common issues that I see with women that I mentor, knowing that they have to realize that they can do and that they don't have to choose between the kids and the husband and their hopes and dreams, and that even though they're helping other people accomplish this, and even though they're trying to be the best wife or trying to be the best mate or whatever, you know, they can still be an individual outside of that and be confident in who they are and to embrace whatever trauma or whatever circumstances that surround them, because all of that works together to help us become and develop into that greatness that we were created and destined to be in the first place. You know, without me telling my story and sharing so many layers of my story and going through the healing process and reliving all that trauma, even from childhood, you know, without me doing that, I cannot be who I am. I could not influence the women that I influence all over the world. I could not be who I am without the things that happened to me and the things that I've been able to share so openly with people and even with my family, you know, because it's easy to tell for me to tell something to a stranger or to share something with a stranger who don't know me. But what about those family members that you've sat in silence with for so long, trying to protect the family name and the dignity and things like that? You know, cause when you expose a thing, you don't know who's going to be hurt or who's going to be set free or who's going to be bothered by it, but you can't allow that stop you from being and becoming who you are created to be. And much of it is letting go of the shame, even if it's family shame, even if it's a family secret that has, traumatized the family for years. You know, it has to be broken in order for change to come in. So you expose it. You expose it for what it is.
Yes, I trust me. Trust and believe. I'm definitely right there on the same level with you. yes, ma'am. You struck a nerve right there for sure, Ms. Brooke. And it's so true because so many people do hide so much, and it's like, you know, in my mind I started thinking, like, I got to save other people. Like, it's time to start speaking up and stop keeping these secrets and start speaking up about things that's going on. Because some people sit there and they worship this person or these people and don't even know what they're worshiping, look up to, I should say.
Yeah.
So trust and believe, I understand that for sure. But now I know a lot of that trauma, and I noticed that even with me and my business, with me growing, I'm just so thankful that I have some of the mentors and coaches that I have around me. But I know some of that past trauma really have a lot of effect on people that want to, you know, be entrepreneurs and, be in different kind of relationships and stuff like that. What kind of things have you helped some of the women with their business? Because it's very important to kind of stay, be able to be focused, laser focused. But I know sometimes those past traumas can interrupt having, you know, your relationships with other people to become a true business owner or entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? Building those relationships. Have you ran into any situations like that with some of the women that you coach and mentor to help them get their business off the ground, anything like that? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, absolutely. Even starting from ground zero, you know, one of the things, you know, we think that, oh, we got this grand idea. It's going to jump off. It's going to make me lots of money. And I'm going to live happily ever after. When you have lack of discipline in your personal life, that same lack of discipline is going to follow you into your business life. So it's about doing the groundwork, you know, putting your vision on paper, lining out your blueprint or your business plan, so to speak. And so this is where I have to, even people who are already established, when are asked to see a business plan or to ask you questions about the foundations of your business, many of them don't have it. So we have to go back to ground zero, because business is much like relationships. Business is much like the cycle of life. You have your highs and you have your lows, and it takes a level of discipline and of know-how and focus to plan for all things. And so one of the main things that I find that people have lacked is to write out their business plan and to create flexibility and allow yourself grace, to have a little grace in that business, just like we do with life, because your personal life and your business life are like a marriage. And so you can't escape one without the other. They're going to impact one another. And if you're not disciplined in finances in your personal life, it's going to spill over into your business life. And without a good, solid financial plan, you don't really have a business at all. And so it can be stressful and it can create chaos. But one thing about it, you must stay the course. If I allow the things that go on in my personal life to keep me from tending to my business life and giving it all that I have on each day, today I wouldn't have a business. I wouldn't have a business because we go through so much in our personal lives that it takes a toll on us. So it's about learning systems and automations and hiring employees sometimes, so to speak, to help you delegate tasks and take some of that strain off of you. And many of them just don't know. We don't know what we don't know in life. We don't know what we don't know in business. And it's about taking that plan, putting a plan together that works for you, and that would also relieve you of some of that time and that stress and putting it to work. And many people mm-hmm. don't. They think that it's their business, and they feel like they have to hover over it all, so to speak, kind of like the helicopter mom, so to speak. You know, and we're mm-hmm. hovering over this business, and we're holding on to it so tight, nothing's getting in, nothing's going out. And we get frustrated. We get frustrated because it drains us. You know, it's draining our time. It's draining our energy. It's taking time away from our family. And so we're quick to give up on it. We're quick to mm-hmm. throw in the towel without even giving it a chance to develop. A business, much right. like a seed, you know, when you plant that seed and you begin to see the produce from which you plant it, it doesn't happen overnight. And many of us, you know, maybe we start and it goes real good and it jump starts that fire overnight. But eventually, you know, that fire is going to die down. You're going to have slower sales. You're going to have slower moments. What do you do in that time when things are not booming, so to speak? And then media doesn't help. You know, media in business, you see everybody out there promoting, and it looks like businesses are going well, and you get distracted mm-hmm. by that. You get distracted mm-hmm. by what you see or what you think you see, and it becomes discouraging for many people in their businesses. And so I try to help people find their own lane mm-hmm. in their business, try to help them understand their business models and understand who it is that they're really seeking to target with their business, who can benefit from it, and just narrow down that focus, narrow down understanding what systems and automations are going to work best for you so it doesn't consume mm-hmm. all your time and your frustration, and then just kind of help stimulate ideas that you have in you. You know, we do something, mm-hmm. we start something, and we're continuing that. And when it's not working, we say, oh, maybe it wasn't meant to be, but maybe mm-hmm. You're at that moment where it's time to dream bigger and expand and add more to it. So I like to stimulate thought and suggestions and things like that also to people to mm-hmm. help them understand that it doesn't stop here. Just because you can sell right. T-shirts, you know, that doesn't mean that right. you stop here because the T-shirts aren't selling anymore. It's time to dream bigger. You know, I wrote yes, one ma'am. Book. Who would think that 8 books later, you know, that I would have done this, and it has became a system. I didn't know it was a system starting out. I just thought I was writing a book and sharing my journey and helping other women overcome some of their traumas. But in the midst of it all, you know, as I continue to write and as I continue to expound on the things that are in me that evolve every day, you know, this is my system. This is who I am. This is what I do. And in all of it, it's educating people. It's encouraging people. It's empowering people to understand that this is life. You don't accomplish something and then once you accomplish that, it's done and over with. When you accomplish
right.
something, you continue to evolve. You should continue to
mm-hmm.
dream
yeah, expand
and expand
it out.
And
mm-hmm.
develop. And so this is
mm-hmm.
what life looks like. This is what life looks
yeah.
like. And this is why so many of us get stuck. We're stuck in our lives. We're stuck in business. We're stuck in relationships
mm-hmm.
because we accomplished that one thing. Oh, we wanted to be married by 30. So we got married and had a family. We got a house with the picket fence, and we sit back like we're satisfied. But if you
mm-hmm.
really have something great in you, like I know that you do, we're never satisfied. And that's okay.
Right.
We want to always expound and evolve and develop. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to be okay with that. Life
yes,
change,
ma'am.
Business change, relationships change. And we have to be okay with being okay and just connecting with people that are going to share positive energy and they don't mind taking us by our hands sometimes, so to speak, which is some of the hardest things for us, especially minority women to do in our culture, is to
mm-hmm.
trust one another to help us along the way.
Right. And that's the biggest obstacle is finding another sister that would that wanted trust you.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. I just, now I know you created that 7-step system that you're kind of talking about. And what was it that encouraged you to start the 7-step system? You know, to creating a better me. Tell me a little bit about that. What was it that encouraged you to start that 7-step? Was it, you know, did you find yourself when you was trying to help women try to put a plan together? Was that one of the reasons that encouraged you to start them steps?
Well, absolutely. You know, when people reach out to you, we think we need one thing. You know, there's a
right.
A woman, so to speak, she may reach out, think she needs one thing. But
mm-hmm.
then as we begin to peel back the layers and begin to go through the steps of helping with one thing, we realize, you know, our lives are like onions and there's many layers
mm-hmm.
to our lives.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
In order to really break down that finite foundation and to really understand the blueprints of our life, it's all in systems. We are complex beings. We're not just made up of hands. We have hands. We have wrists, we have an arm, you know,
right.
we have shoulders, you know. And so
all of them need their own individual
together.
Attention.
That's right.
right.
And they have their own function. And
mm-hmm.
so it's no different than anything else that we deal with in our lives or our relationships or our business. You know, there's going to be many layers. And once you begin to work on one layer, you're going to find that there's another. And this is how the system evolved, you know, just through writing the books. You know,
mm-hmm.
I got through one thing and realized that, hey, there's something else that needs to be said. There's something else in our lives that needs to be done. And so we're a complex
mm-hmm.
being. And we're going to always be triggered or going to always be conditioned to believe something or to be told something that's going to stimulate thought. And so the only
mm-hmm.
way that we don't get lost in the translation of it all is to understand what our purpose is, understand where we fit and what lane we're created to ride in and to unfold the layers of our own lives. And that's where the system evolves. It evolves in starting with the basics, starting with where we are and who we are and looking at us. And evolves into now that we've mastered this, what's the next step? What's the next level? What do we do? And so that's where the system comes in at. It's just help
mm-hmm.
taking women from one step to the next step. Because like I said, it's easy to say, well, I've overcome that or I'm okay with that or I've forgiven. But what about when those triggers show up? What about when
right.
You smell that smell that
mm-hmm.
triggers and stimulates thoughts that puts you back in that state of depression or that state of trauma or sets you back a few years? What about them? And so this is what the system is all about. This is why my books are so important to my speaking platform, and the books are important to the business that I do, is because it not only helps you understand your blueprint, but then it begins to break it down,
That's what they
individually
need.
So that you can really see and really do the work that is important for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. It definitely makes a big difference. Yes, ma'am. And some of the other things you do is help them with the financial education, too. And that's the part that's really appealing to me because, you know, of course, I'm in financial services, too. So it's all about that education, being educated to help, be able to help yourself. So that, you know, that's another thing, too, of course.
Well, you know, one of the biggest lessons that we miss in the in our culture is financial education. You know, we're taught go to school, get a good job, you know, make good grades, all that good stuff. But without a financial education, we can make all the money in the world, and we can still be living paycheck to paycheck. We can still not understand how to generate generational wealth, which is connected to your home-based businesses and that talent that you have. And so one of the things that was important for me in this system is to generate product that was easy to understand. And this is where my book, Financial Education Simplified, you know, in Recreating a Better Me, you know, I open up with a financial education. It's very basic you know, it asked some financial questions and things like that. But it was early in my learning, early in my understanding of what financial education is. But as I began to self-educate and begin to understand what how important financial education is, you know, I put together this book, Financial Education Simplified, and it actually, you know, for someone who is starting from poverty like I did, you know, it helps us understand how we're conditioned to not really understand how money works. Many of us, you know, we make money and we go to work and we pay the bills and we think that that is all there is to life. And so we're exhausted. We don't have the understanding of how important it is to put together a financial defense. We don't even understand how to break down the dollar bill so that, you know, we use it in a way that's going to be productive for us and it's going to yield a return, a good return on the other end of it. And so it was important for me to write this book to help people understand that no matter what our income is, with a good, simple financial education or financial ground, we can all begin to generate generational wealth. And that's why this book is so important. And so, no, I didn't use the big financial terms and all of that that people use that go over our head. I use very simple language. I walk it step by step to help you understand what a financial education look like and how you yourself, regardless of whatever your income is, can generate and begin to build a generational wealth for you and your family. And it is important. It is important. Many of us are in high poverty communities. You know, many of us, you know, we're single parent women raising these kids, and it's sucking up a lot of our money. Well, I can help you and show you how to turn that financial situation around. So not only do you are able to create a budget and live a lifestyle within that budget, but also how you're able to get that money back and be able to use it to create a financial defense for you and your family, and to be able to live financially independent,
mm-hmm.
and not have to live paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I first came into financial services, I had found this guy. His name was Mr. Earl, and Mr. Earl had a learning disability. But what Mr. Earl did was he started saving his money, right? And he was a parking lot attendant, only made $12 an hour. But what he started doing was saving $25, putting $25 away each month. And then once he built up enough cash that he wanted, he actually took that money and invested it. And this man was able to save over $500,000 at the time when I learned about him. Just by putting $25 away. So even though we might be in those situations where we feel like we can't save money, you have to find some kind of way to save something somewhere, if that makes sense. And so he just so happened, the parking lot that he worked in was in a financial district, and he built relationships with some of those people that actually worked in those financial buildings. And so they ended up showing him how to invest his money, and now that man educate and teach other people how to invest their money. So a lot of times, you know, in our communities, we think that we don't have enough money or we don't make enough money to be able to save. The problem is we have to work, we have to train our mindset to not even think that we can save our money the way we were being taught generationally. And what that means, like you said, throwing our money in the bank and going to college and thinking we're going to live this lavish life. There's more to that in life. You have to learn how to put your money in the right places for it to work. But at the same time, you got to start something before you even get anywhere. So, again, just finding the smallest amount of money you can to start saving. And even if you don't see that money accumulate to $500,000, at least you can start it for your children. And people don't know that there's plans out there. You can actually simplify educated plan to put in place for you and your kids, okay, to be able to still build generational wealth, but you just got to be open to allow somebody to teach you.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I did learn, it only takes 10 or 15 minutes to educate people. The simple things like the rule of 72, oh, my God, all you got to do is look that up. You know what I mean? But just to start getting, you know, to become educated so that you can help yourself and help your children. And then it's a lot of closed-minded people, and they feel like they can't trust people. And for some reason, I don't know why we would trust the people that wasn't winning, but we can't trust people that's trying to help us win.
It's all about that conditioning, that mm-hmm. we've been conditioned to since birth, I mean, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you
mm-hmm.
think the baby crying for mommy or whoever the caregiver is when they're out of the room, you know, and out of their sight? You know, those are trust issues that we've been conditioned to all of our lives, you know, so it's hard to overcome that. It's hard
mm-hmm.
to overcome that mediocrity, because mediocrity
mm-hmm.
is what's average, it's what's norm, what's considered to be norm, and anything that goes above or beyond that, you know, it creates the need for change. And many of us
mm-hmm.
are fearful when it comes to change. You know, we fear change. We fear that success. We fear something different. And so, you know, it's about breaking down those mental walls, those mental barriers, and being focused on desiring change and something better, so that
mm-hmm.
we're able to reach out to other people who can help us get that change that we seek. Yeah.
You know, the biggest fear I had was to be broke and to stay broke. And once someone educated me, oh my goodness, I was hungry to get more information. You know what I mean?
Being
of course, you still
got
to do your research. you know, that part, yes,
being,
ma'am.
Being broke is easy. You know, it doesn't require us to do anything different, you know. And
yeah, just follow that same system for generation after generation.
Yeah.
You're going to get, you're going to learn.
It doesn't require you
to
change. It doesn't require you to, you know, to have a different kind of financial conversation with other people. You know, it allows you to stay comfortable in what the environment that you're in. And so, I mean, you know, we can see how that happens. We've been there and done that.
I was great to say, Ms. Bray, I actually did that. I came across some money at one time, and I stayed in that same environment. And that same environment brought me right back where I started.
Absolutely.
That's something powerful right there. And if you don't change your mindset, you're going to stay stuck, not just mentally, but financially. Just I call it stuck. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that right there was enough to scare me to say, I want to change. I want to do something different. I want to hang around different people that's tired of being stuck with, you know, with everything. So, I mean, it's just been a beautiful journey that I've been on for the last 10 years. And so that's why I always try to invite people to my surroundings. I'm just saying. But let me ask
you. You can invite them. You can't make them come. Press the issue, but you can throw a nugget in there every now and then, kind of like my sister did for me when she began to talk to me about finances and the different dynamics of how, you know, I can change my life financially. You know, it's all about a conversation. You can't force it, but all you can do is plant
all
the
you can
seed,
do is
and
just,
eventually
yes,
it'll begin
ma'am.
To manifest.
Girl. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Bray, let me ask you a quick question. Those the women that you've been helping to mentor and coaching, is there a certain age range, or how do you determine who you're gonna be that helps, or what kind of women been reaching out to you, like the age ranges?
Mainly, I target women ages 35 to 65 years of age, and much of that is because, you know, at this age, in this point in our life, we realize at this state that whatever we're doing or have been doing is not working and is not yielding satisfaction for us. You know, the kids are growing up, you know, the relationships may or may not have worked up until this point, and they just desire something different in life. And I think that they've been through enough. They pretty much have an idea that now I'm ready for to trust somebody. I really need somebody that I can trust to help guide me through this next level in life. And though I've helped, you know, others, younger women and even some men that have reached out, you know, for guidance and things, you know, the main ones that I target is women, working women, women who may or may not have a college degree, but that are just ready to expand and expound on and tap into what they know that they have in them, bringing their dreams and aspirations to pass. And so those are the people that I target.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that age, because I remember when I woke up one day, it was so crazy. I remember this day just as clear as day. I woke up when I was 36 years old, and I said, there got to be more to life than this. I mean, oh, my God. I was working, I promise you, at least 40 to 60 hours a week at this. I worked in the group home at the time. And I was a supervisor, and I was there. It seemed like I lived my life there. And I still was broke. Every time I came home and get that paycheck, and I was like, is this all about life, is going to work, come home, go to sleep, and come back and do it all over again? Like, is this it? And so it really, the entrepreneurship, even though I was raised around a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs, they didn't teach me, right?
Yeah.
And so it really did not wake me up all the way until I was 46 years old.
Wow.
And ever since then, I changed my surroundings. I said, I need to do something different. I need to get around some different people because this, I can't win like this.
Yeah. And, but think about your average 46-year-old. Many of them think that, oh, it's too late. I should have done this earlier. Think about your average
mm-hmm.
woman, 35 to 65 years of age. They think, oh,
mm-hmm.
it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late for me. I should have done this years ago. I've always dreamed of doing this. No, you still can. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't get to enjoy your dream but a day or a moment, I mean, it is what it is. At least when you die empty. At least when you
right.
die giving it all you had on this side. So, I mean, it's not
right.
too late. As long as you got breath in your body, it's not too late.
Right. It's funny you said that because I remember I spoke with this young lady before, and me and her were just sitting down having a chit chat over some coffee at McDonald's, and I was educating her. We were going over some education, financial education, and she just started crying, and I was like, "What?" I said, "Just talk to me and tell me what's going on." She said, "Where were you at 30 years ago?"
Mm-hmm.
She said,
mm-hmm.
"Do you know if she said if you wouldn't have bought me a meal." I wouldn't have been, if I would have spent $1, I wouldn't have been able to pay my rent.
That's right.
And she said, I've been so sick about, you know, how can I make it? And how did I get to this place? And a lot of people don't start hitting us until we late 40s or 50s. And
absolutely.
We're getting closer to retirement. And we thinking like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Hmm. Yeah,
and
we get ready
so
to retire, and we're not prepared because we spent
mm-hmm.
all our money raising the kids and making sure the kids
mm-hmm.
had everything that they needed, and we neglected ourselves. So, yeah, I can
mm-hmm.
definitely relate. You know, many people, we start late. You know, we're trying to raise
mm-hmm.
the kids, trying to keep food on the table and a roof over our head,
mm-hmm.
you know. We're not thinking about retirement. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, as time go on, the kids are growing up and our lives are forced to change because the kids are moving out and they got their own life. And then here we are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know who we are. And so, yeah, it's a reality for so many of us. And so,
right.
You know, we can change that dynamic today, you know, just by having a conversation and
right.
even just getting a book, you know, just. Ordering
yes,
my book, so it
helped
guide
well,
you through that.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we got 2 minutes left, Mrs. Bray. Tell the audience how they can get in contact with you before our show ends.
The best way to reach me is through my Linktree. That's Linktree/AntreshaBraySmith. That's LinkTree.ee/ AntreshaBraySmith. There on my Linktree, there's some free and affordable resources for you and also a link to my website and where you can get books and get a complimentary connection mm-hmm. call with me so that we can see if maybe I'm a good fit to be your mentor or help connect you with the resources that you need or that you desire to get where you desire to go and reach in your life. So, yeah, that's Linktree/AntreshaBraySmith.
Yes, ma'am. I really enjoyed you on our show again, Ms. Antresia. I really enjoyed you.
Well, I've enjoyed being here with you, Faith, and it's always a pleasure. And I look forward to, like I say, seeing your book.
Yes, ma'am. I will go and order it.
yeah, absolutely.
Well, again, welcome. I mean, I want to thank Ms. Antresia Bray for coming on the Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Show. And if you want to, you know, looking for any advertisement or radio spins or radio interviews, you can contact me at 478-219-5900. And you guys have a great day and stay blessed. Happy holidays, Mrs. Bray.
Happy holidays to you as well.
All right. Take care.
around. You thought you weighed me down. You thought you had me leveled to the ground. My life was such a mess. I was so depressed. Didn't think